want you to do something, and I've got a reason for doing it. I want you just to reach out and just shake someone's hand or just give them a touch. Would you do that? You'll see why I'm doing that in just a moment. By the way, while you're doing that, tonight, just for you guys who come on Sunday nights, we start back with our next gen and our groups today at 4 o'clock, so don't forget to put that on your calendar, and we'll see you then. So one of the things that God has done in my life that's been such a tremendous blessing, I've been all over the world. I literally have been all over the world, and there's one particular trip that will always stand out in my mind. Years ago, I was in India, and I was in the city of Calcutta. And I'd always wanted to go there. You know, Calcutta, nobody had ever heard of it 50 years ago, but then a little lady named Mother Teresa came on the scene. And all of a sudden, she put Calcutta on the map. And the reason why she did that was she built what was called a home for the sick and the dying. This is the picture of this place that she built. Well, I'd heard about this place, but seeing it, I just have to tell you, and when I say this, I mean it literally. When I walked into that place there, it literally took my breath away. Because you have to understand, on the outside where you can't see is a sidewalk. On that sidewalk, and I'm trying to gross you out, but there was urine running down the sidewalk. People sleeping on blankets. People brush their teeth in that stuff. It's as poor a place as you've ever seen in your life. And Mother Teresa founded this place for people who are homeless and who are sick and dying and diseased. And it was really a place for people that nobody else wanted. I can still to this day smell it. When I walked into I stepped through the door and I literally almost had to walk out. It was nauseating. The stench of sickness and death and disease was just almost overwhelming. And it reminds me of a story, a true story, that was told about Mother Teresa. One day in the slums of Calcutta there, she was dressing the wounds of a leper. And a tourist had walked in from America, and he was watching Mother Teresa dress this leper's wounds, and he asked if he could take a picture. And she granted permission. And so he was watching in amazement as this little world-famous nun tenderly replaced this bloody bandage. It was covering a gaping hole right here where the nose used to be, but the nose had been eaten away. It had rotted away. He closed in for a close shot, and he said he could smell the stench of the wound as he moved in. When she got through, she walked over to him, and he said, "Mother Teresa, I wouldn't do what you do for $10 million. To which Mother Teresa replied, "Friend, neither would I. Neither would I." The reason why Mother Teresa did what she did was not for money. I'll tell you why Mother Teresa did what she did and built what she built. She had a heart of compassion. If you're a guest of ours today, or you're watching online, we are in the series we're calling The Heart of God. And what we've been saying is God's heart is a heart of compassion. If you could do open heart surgery on God, what you would find in the heart of God is a heartbeat of compassion. He is the Father, the Bible says, of all compassion. In fact, you can sum up the heart of God in one word. It is compassion. And that experience that I had with Mother Teresa reminds me of one of the greatest pictures of compassion in all of the Bible. This is one story I want you to look at with me. I don't want you to miss it. So I want you to take your Bibles, your iPads, your cell phones, whatever you use. I want you to turn to a gospel called Mark, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. I want you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1. In Mark chapter 1, what you're going to find out today is this. The reason why I ask you to reach out and touch somebody just a moment ago is, have you ever considered just how powerful a touch is? Touch is probably the sense that we take most for granted, but we miss it the most when it's gone. As a matter of fact, I didn't know this. Psychologists have a term. When you feel like you need a touch, or when you're lacking physical affection, or you're lacking physical touch, psychologists have a term for that. They call it skin hunger. I've never heard that before. They call it skin hunger. And here's why. The skin, just look at your hands right now. Everybody just look at your hands right now. The skin that you're looking at right now makes up about 20% of your body. It is the largest, most sensitive organ in the body. It constitutes about 16 to 18% of your body weight. A piece of skin about the size of a quarter. One piece of skin the size of a quarter. You ready for this? It has 50, listen to this, it has 50 nerve endings, 3 feet of blood vessels. God knew what he was doing when he built the human body, because the first sensation we ever experience is the sensation of touch. This will blow your mind. If you could get into the womb of a mother who is pregnant, if you could get into that womb of that, just if that little baby is only 2 months old in the mother's womb, if you would reach out and touch the little hand of that baby, it would instinctively grab a hold of your finger. Nobody taught it to do that. We're just born with this sense of touch. When a newborn baby comes out of the mother's womb, even a newborn baby just born, if you touch the cheek of that baby, it will turn toward the touch of that finger. Kids all over the world play a game called tag. Nobody teaches the game called tag. We've all played tag going up. You didn't read a book on how to play tag. Nobody told you how to do it. We were just instinctively born, even built a game around touching other people, because we just figured out there's something magical about a touch. As a matter of fact, doctors figured out thousands of years ago there's something about touching another person. Because I didn't know this. In the 3rd century BC, doctors were doing massages on people. Can you believe that? They were in the massage business over 3,000 years ago, because they figured out there's something about a touch. Hey, how about this? The word surgeon comes from 2 Greek words, the word kir, which means hand, and the word ergon, meaning work. When you put it together, it literally means a hand healer. That's what a surgeon is. He is a hand healer. By the way, something happened to you when somebody touched you, you didn't even know it. Because every time somebody touches you, guess what happens? They just boosted your immune system. They lowered your blood pressure. They decreased the level of stress hormones. And you just had the release of the same kind of opiates found in pain-killing drugs. All of that happened to you when somebody touched you and you didn't even know it. There's an incredible power to touch. Which brings me to Jesus. Jesus didn't just love people. He loved to touch people. Have you ever noticed how many times when Jesus healed someone, he touched them? Because he knew that compassion is this magic touch. So today, here's what I want us to learn. A heart of compassion will lead you to touch the untouchable and to love the unlovable. If you've got a heart of compassion, you want to touch the untouchable and you want to love the unlovable. If you've got a heart of compassion, you literally want to reach out and touch someone with the finger of compassion. I call it the magic touch. There is no touch like the touch of compassion. So today, we're going to lead this story, and you're going to learn about the 3 types of touches we ought to be giving to people every single opportunity that we can. One of the things as I worked on this message, I said, oh God, every day, would you bring somebody into my life that needs at least one, if not all, of these touches. You might want to write these down. Number one, we need to give people the touch of hope. We need to give people the touch of hope. Now, this is a story of a man with leprosy who came to Jesus. We're in Mark chapter 1, verse 40. A man with leprosy came to him, begged him on his knees. Just imagine, he falls on his knees. He said, if you're willing, you can make me clean. Now, to you kids that go to school, let me just be honest, we don't talk much about leprosy today because we're not really exposed to leprosy here in America. As a matter of fact, worldwide today, there's only a few 100,000 people that have leprosy. Most of them are in Asia. Most of them are in Africa. Most of us will never see a person with leprosy. And yet, it's treated, if it's treated early, it's really curable. But 2,000 years ago, there was no disease that was more feared. There was no disease that was more dreaded, that would strike more terror into your heart than leprosy. So if you're old enough to remember, think about AIDS in the 1990s. That was leprosy 2,000 years ago. It was a horrific disease. It was considered highly contagious. Now, let me just warn you, what I'm about to say is going to be graphic. And it's going to be gross. But we don't need to sugarcoat what's going on here. So I want you to go back to the days of Jesus. You wake up one morning and you all of a sudden notice little white spots begin to form on your skin. And then over a short period of time, they begin to harden into nodules. And then they go from being white to pink to brown. And then they become scaly. You notice they begin to spread all over your body, and they are especially found in the folds of your cheek, your nose, your lips, your forehead, and your eyebrows. Eventually, your full face will be completely disfigured. You won't even look like a human being. These nodules then begin to ulcerate. They produce a foul odor you could smell 15 feet away. They cover your vocal cords so that when you breathe, there'd be a wheezing sound and your voice would be raspy. Your eyebrows would begin to turn white, then they would fall out. Your body would literally begin to rot as you walk. These sores would begin to leave spots on the ground where the pus was oozing out of your feet. Your fingers and your toes would begin to fall off. Toward the end of the disease, you would probably lose a hand or a foot or both hands and both feet. You say, oh, Pastor, what a terrible physical toll it took. That was only half the problem. In fact, it wasn't even half the problem. The big problem with leprosy was not physical. It was emotional. Because the moment people knew you had leprosy, your family kicked you out of your house. You were banned from the village. You had to self-quarantine for the rest of your life. If you went out in public, you couldn't contact anybody. It was a law. You had to stay at least 50 paces from other people. If a leper even stuck his head inside of a house, that house was condemned, it was torn to the ground, and you lost everything. If you greeted a leper, you went to jail. It was against the law to even speak to a leper. And everywhere a leper went, you're a leper. You had to have your face covered. And everywhere you went, you had to cry out in that raspy voice, unclean, 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 everywhere you went. Well, evidently, this disease had run its course in this man's life because the disease usually lasted about 9 years, and then you died. So here's a man that for 9 years had lived this miserable life of isolation, ridicule, rejection. Think about this. For almost a decade, he had not heard one loving voice. For almost a decade, he had not felt one loving touch. For almost a decade, he had not seen one loving face. You know what's really interesting? Nobody in the Bible was ever healed by a touch. No leper in the Bible was ever healed by a touch except Jesus. Nobody else in the Bible ever reached out and touched a leper except Jesus. So now, we look at this guy. There are two things obviously true about this man. First of all, he's helpless. This man woke up every morning and he knew, there is nothing I can do about my problem. There is nothing I can do about my condition. There is absolutely nothing that I can do on my own to get rid of this condition. He was helpless. But he was also hopeless. Because not only did he know there was nothing he could do, he knew there was nothing nobody else could do. There wasn't a doctor. There wasn't a surgeon. There wasn't a medicine. There wasn't a technology. There wasn't a discovery waiting in the wings. There was no magic pill. There was nobody that could do anything about his condition. But somehow word had gotten around that there was this man named Jesus. And Jesus didn't meet a disease he couldn't heal. So for the first time, 10 years, he lays his eyes on Jesus. Now, I want you to imagine, just put yourself in his feet for just a moment. He looks at Jesus, and for the first time in 10 years, he saw something he hadn't seen. For the first time in 10 years, he heard something he hadn't heard. For the first time in 10 years, he felt something he had never felt. You know what that was? Hope. For the first time in 10 years, he's got hope. Because this leper understood, I've only got one shot. I got one hope, and that's a miracle, and only God can do a miracle. So maybe this man can help me. And here's what I love. He didn't come to Jesus and say, sir, can you heal me? He knew Jesus could heal him. He comes to Jesus, and he said, sir, if you're willing, you can heal me. He knew Jesus could do it. He didn't know if Jesus would do it. Maybe Jesus wouldn't consider him worthy to be healed, deserving to be healed. Maybe he doesn't even love him enough to be healed. I just want to stop right here and want you to hear me clearly. Why is this in the Bible? Why is this story in the Bible? It's more than just about a man who gets healed. You already know the end of the story. The guy gets healed. No, this man is a picture. Listen to me carefully. This man is a picture of everybody in this world without Jesus. Your neighbor without Jesus, he's a leper. That person you live next door to without Jesus, he's a leper. Those kids you go to school with that don't know Jesus, they're lepers. We were all born lepers. This is everybody without Jesus. So many people in this world living lives of quiet desperation. Some of you walked into this building right now. Some of you listen to me right now. You think, there's no hope for my broken home. There's no hope for my fractured marriage. There's no hope for my shattered dream. There's no hope for my sinful heart. There's no hope for my wicked ways. There's no hope for my dirty past. And I'm telling our church today, we have been called today to be the hands of Jesus. We have been called to tell people, yes, there is hope. We are to be the hands of Jesus. We are to be the heart of Jesus. And we are to go to them and take to them the magic touch of Jesus. Because here's what I know, I've seen it all of my life. You do not have a problem God, Jesus cannot solve. You do not have a hurt that Jesus cannot heal. You do not have a question that Jesus cannot answer. You do not have a need that Jesus cannot meet. Through Jesus, we need to give the touch of hope. For the first time, this man's got the one thing you've got to have to live. More than food, more than water, more than air, you've got to have hope. But not only do we need to give people the touch of hope, we need to give people the touch of healing. So the moment's come, you could hear a grass growing. What would Jesus do? Moved with, say that word out loud. Say it real loud. Moved with compassion. Jesus reached out his hand and touched him. I am willing, he told him, be made clean. The touch of hope had become the touch of healing. Now keep in mind, there are two characters in the story, right? There's the Lord and there's the leper, right? There's the healer and there's the healed. Now here's something I don't want you to miss. This leper's under no illusion about his miserable condition. He understands he's got a problem he can't solve. He understands he's got a disease he can't heal. And he understands he needs to be healed. But here's the point. He not only said he was unclean, he knew he was unclean. I mean, all he had to do, look at your fingers, look at your toes, look at your feet, look at your skin, look at yourself in the mirror. He knew he needed to be healed. He knew he was helpless. He knew he was hopeless. He knew there was nothing he could do. He knew there was nowhere else he could turn except Jesus. And here's my point. This picture, this man is a picture of everyone in this world that doesn't know Jesus. It is a picture of the way you and I were born when we came out of our mother's womb. And I want you to see the reason why this leper was healed. Listen, you know why he was healed? He wasn't healed because he wanted to be healed. He was healed because he was willing to be healed. Big difference between wanting to be healed and being willing to be healed. He was willing to go to the healer. Somebody somewhere said, have you heard about this man named Jesus? And he says, no, but I got to meet this guy. So he makes the decision to go to Jesus. Now, what's the point? There are so many people in this world. They've heard about Jesus. They know about Jesus. They've heard the gospel. But they're not going to heaven. They have no relationship with God. You can go out to the streets of Atlanta, Georgia tomorrow. Ask people at random a simple question. Hey, assuming there is one, do you want to go to heaven? And I promise you, I'm telling you, 99% of the people say, well, yeah, I want to go to heaven. Well, why is it we've got all these people in Atlanta or Chicago or LA or all over the world? Why we've got all these people that say they're wanting to go to heaven, but we know they're not going to heaven? Here's why. They say they want to go to heaven, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get there. They're not willing to surrender to the only one that can take them to heaven. There's a big difference between wanting to go to heaven and being willing to go to heaven. So Jesus was talking to the Pharisees. Great illustration. Jesus was talking to the Pharisees one time. You know the Pharisees were, right? Big, super religious people. They were more religious than all of us in this room put together. And Jesus is talking to the Pharisees. I want you to listen to what he said. He said, you study the scriptures diligently, which is what they did. That was their full-time job. Because you think that in them you have eternal life, which was true. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. Yet, you refuse to come to me to have life. Every Pharisee wanted to go to heaven. And every Pharisee thought they were going to heaven. But they didn't. And they weren't, because they weren't willing to do what it takes to go to heaven. And so just like this leper, there are so many people, they just don't want to be healed. He said, look, I'm willing to be healed. I want to hear the gospel. I want to know about salvation. I'm hungry for the bread of life. I'm thirsty for the water of life. And I'm telling you, by the grace of God and the power of God, we've got the God-given ability to touch these people. Not just with the touch of hope, but with the touch of healing, the healing power of the gospel. One of the things that gets me up every morning, gets me fired up and wired up every single morning, I never get lose the thrill of it. I know I can go to anyone, anywhere, anytime, no matter what place they're at in their life, no matter how bad they've blown it, no matter how miserably they've failed, I can go to anybody today, and you know what I can tell them? If you're willing to be clean, you can be clean. If you're willing to be forgiven, you can be forgiven. If you're willing to receive eternal life, you can receive eternal life. If you're willing to be a part of the family of God, you can be a part of the family of God. If you're willing to have the slate wiped clean, your slate can be wiped clean. Anytime, anywhere, any place, we have the ability to do that. They've got to be waiting, they've got to be wanting, and they've got to be willing, and we need to give them the touch of healing. You agree with that? Well, we're going to see. Because talk is what? Cheap. So we've been talking about compassion, and we're going to continue to talk about compassion. And I've been asking God to give our church a heart of compassion. Now, if I were to ask you, do you want a heart of compassion? Now, I want you to, I'm not going to ask you to do this. If I were to ask you to raise your hand, all of you to raise your hand, because you want to get embarrassed. If you don't want to do it, you want anybody to know it, right? So I'm not going to even ask you, do you want, I'm just going to assume, okay, you want to have a heart of compassion. Well, we're going to see whether or not we really mean it. Because today, I'm going to ask us as a church, both corporately and individually, to be willing to give this magic touch of compassion through a great organization some of you have heard of. I didn't really know much about it until about a year ago. And it's called Compassion International. You see the word compassion? Releasing children from poverty, compassion in Jesus' name. Now, notice that word compassion. I told you I want us to have the heart of God, which is compassion. I told Teresa this morning, I said, I am so pumped. I am so excited because we're going to be a part of this ministry. And I want to just share with you why I want you to be a part of it too. Compassion International is a Christ-centered, that hooks me, I'm in. Child-focused, Jesus loved the little children. Church-based, that's the organization that God's put together. Dedicated to releasing children from poverty in Jesus' name. Over 2.2 million children in 29 countries have been supported through sponsorship programs. Sponsorship provides holistic care, including education, health care, nutrition, and spiritual development. Compassion programs equip children with life skills, vocational training, and faith-based guidance to break the cycle of poverty. Many sponsored children go on to become teachers, doctors, pastors, and leaders in their community. Sponsors build a one-on-one relationship with their sponsored child through letters, prayers, and updates. Just $43 a month, $1.41 a day, can transform a child's life and future. So I came to church today, and I picked up a brochure that I'm going to ask many of you to pick up at least one today, because I wanted to make sure that I knew what I was talking about, and I want to make sure you understand what we're asking. I couldn't believe it. Just I say at random, nothing's at random. Patrick, nothing's at random. This is Mohammed. I'm a 6-year-old boy. Here's what caught my attention. I live in Burkina Faso. I've been to Burkina Faso. Burkina Faso is right next to Mali, which is where Timbuktu is. And by the way, if anybody ever tells you I've been to Timbuktu, don't waste your time, but I've been there. But I've been to Burkina Faso. I couldn't believe when I picked it up and I looked at my name is Mohammed. God touched my heart. This kid's been waiting 266 days for someone to be his sponsor. Well, as far as I'm concerned, those days are over. Now, let me just stop right here. Everybody look up here. Tell me one thing you can do better with $1.40 a day than to sponsor a child like that. I mean, is your Starbucks coffee really that important? Seriously? $1.40 a day. You can sponsor a child all over the world. Feed a child. Clothe a child. Educate a child. But most importantly, give the gospel to a child. This kid's a Muslim. I promise he's a Muslim. He needs Jesus. I found out about this kid. He's in church 4 days a week. They're sharing the gospel with him. And I'm asking our church today to join forces with 15,000 other churches, 8,000 frontline churches in this Christ-centered, church-driven, child-focused ministry to touch poverty-stricken, destitute children around the world with the compassion of Jesus. And so when this service is over, you're going to walk out, and we've got it where you can't miss one. We got guards at the side doors. You're not getting out that way. Just a joke. I'm going to ask you to go to a table. I want you to hear what I'm about to say. Listen to me carefully. I'm going to take you off the hook because this is what I don't want to do. If you do this out of guilt, just go home. Because if you do it out of guilt, God's going to write down zero. I want you to do it out of compassion, not compulsion, compassion. And by the way, you parents, what a great way to teach your kids generosity. What a great way to teach your kids how to care for other people by adopting a child. You'll have their picture. You'll be able to correspond with them. They'll know who you are. You will know who they are. It's a great opportunity. So we're going to give our church a chance. We've been talking about compassion. You say you have a heart of compassion. You want to have it for a, listen to me. What Brad was telling me this, I'm going to steal that line from you. For a small amount of $1.40 a day, you can make an eternal difference in the life of a child. We need to give people the touch of hope. We need to give people the touch of healing. Then one last thing, we'll be done. We need to give people the touch of heaven. The leper stands before the Lord. He not only says he wants to be healed, he says, I'm willing to be healed, and Jesus is willing to be healed, and guess what happens? Well, he's healed. Jesus says, can you imagine the music this was to this man's ears? I'm willing. Three words changed this man's life. I'm willing. Be clean. And immediately, I love that's one of Mark's favorite words, by the way, immediately the leprosy left him, and he was cleansed. Wouldn't you love to have seen that? In the blink of an eye, his skin is as pure as the driven snow. In the blink of an eye, he's totally whole. In the blink of an eye, brand new body, hands, feet, hair, eyebrows, eyelashes, all restored for the first time in 10 years. He doesn't have to walk around going, unclean, unclean. For the first time in 10 years, he gets to walk around saying, I'm clean. I'm clean. Can I get an amen to that? Amen. I'm clean. For the first time. Jesus gave him the touch of every sin. Leprosy, what you don't understand, leprosy in the Bible is a perfect picture of sin. As a matter of fact, you want to read something interesting, go home today and read Leviticus chapter 13. The entire chapter talks about leprosy. And here's what you find out. It goes deeper than the skin. It spreads. It defiles the whole body. It isolates you from people. It eventually kills you. And when you read Leviticus 13, you say, good grief, only God can cure it. In my study, I love to find this kind of stuff. I like to find, I call it trivia that nobody else even thinks about. Okay, I just love to do that. So I find out about this disease. Right, now, this is the name of this disease, okay? It's trimethylaminuria. It took me an hour to pronounce that yesterday. It's trimethylaminuria. None of you have ever heard of that. Let me tell you about this disease. Extremely rare. It's a metabolic disorder that causes a strong odor like rotten fish on your breath, your sweat, your bodily fluids. People who have it, for obvious reasons, they become depressed, they become reclusive, they lose their jobs. And it does, because it doesn't matter how many times you bathe, you can put on cologne, you can use mouthwash, the odor never goes away. And it literally just ruins your life. And the biggest problem is, to this day, there's no cure. There's no treatment. There's no prescription. There's no doctor. There's no medicine. There's no pill. The only hope is a touch from God. It is a perfect picture of this disease called sin. And we all were born with it. We were born with hearts that are selfish, self-centered, jealous, bitter, and angry. And though we may not be able to smell it, other people can smell the sin in our souls. Oh, you can go to church, but that won't cover it up. You can get baptized, that won't cover it up. You can be religious, that won't cover it up. People still smell it. People still know it. Because there's only one cure for this stinking stench of smell called sin. There's only one cure. And that is the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's the only cure. That is the only hope. You see, the essence of the gospel is real simple. This Jesus leaves heaven, comes down to earth, puts on human flesh so he could literally reach out and touch us with the hands of grace so he could cleanse us from our sin. And let me tell you what I've learned about Jesus. He is still ready to touch people. He still wants to touch people, but he has no hands but our hands. He has no heart but our heart. He has no eyes but our eyes. He has no feet but our feet. And if we have a heart of compassion, we want to touch the untouchable. We want to love the unlovable with a touch of hope and healing in heaven. Now, as we wrap this up, the story has a really strange ending. I mean, really strange. Here's how it ends up. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. It's kind of strange now. See that you don't tell this to anyone. That's kind of weird. Don't say a word. Don't tell anybody. But go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them. Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. Couldn't keep it to himself. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people still came to him from everywhere. Now, here's what's so interesting about the story. Jesus tells the man to keep quiet, but he disobeyed orders. Man, how things have changed in 2,000 years. Jesus tells this man to tell nobody, and he went and told everybody. Jesus has told us to go tell everybody, and we tell nobody. What a difference. What a difference. So I'm calling on us today. God, would you please give our church the heart of compassion? And here's how you'll know you got a heart of compassion. When you put your feet on the street, you take your hands out of your pockets, you go give people not just the magic touch, but the master's touch that can save anybody. So I'm going to say something and tell you one last thing and we'll be done. I want to make this very plain. Because I'm really trying to walk a thin, thin line. I don't want to cross it, but I'm going to get as close as I can, Patrick, to the line. I am not trying to put you on a guilt trip. Please hear me. I'm really not. And if you go out there and you're going to do something out of guilt, or you're going to, well, people are going to be watching, I better take one. Forget it. Don't do it. I'd rather you be honest with yourself. Just be honest. Just do what you're going to do. But I'll tell you what I know. Jesus wouldn't walk out that door without taking a packet. I can tell you that. So I'm going to close with this. Made my week. A mom came up to see me last week after one of our services and told me about her son. Won't give you a description. Don't want anybody to know who it is, but college kid, dark place. She told me, she said, I don't know what to do. I said, would he come see me? She said, I don't know. I said, well, if he'll come see me, I'll see him. Well, lo and behold, she brings him to see me. So she comes in, brings him into my office, sits him down. She walks out the door. I'm going to call him Patrick, just in your honor, Patrick. So I call him, I pulled up my chair and I said, Patrick, let's get something straight right now. Are you here because you want to be here, or are you because your mom brought you here? Because you're because your mom brought you here, we'll talk, game's over. No, he says, I came because I want to come. Long story short, he used the word darkness 7 times in this conversation. I've been in a world of darkness, drugs, alcohol, things I don't even need to talk about. You name it. I'm in darkness. I'm in a dark place. And I just listened for 25 minutes. I didn't say a word. And then I looked at him and I said, Patrick, do you realize you mentioned the word darkness about seven, eight times? He said, no, I didn't. I said, if you're tired of living in darkness, I'd like to take you to the light. And I shared the gospel with him. Now, I almost blew it because I didn't really feel like he was ready, to be honest with you. And I thought I was going to be one of these things, hey, I'll just give him a tract and tell him to read the gospel and come back and see me, you know, take a pill and call me in the morning, right? So I get to the end and I said, now, do you understand the gospel? Just what I just shared with you? He said, yes, sir. I said, great. Before I could say anything else, he said, that's what I want. I said, you mean like today? He said, yeah. I said, you mean like now? Yeah, now. So wait right there. I went and got his mother. She was out in the wagon. I said, come here, Mom. She came in and sat down. I tell her what happened. Now, this whole time this kid's talking to me, he's 21 years old. He's weeping the whole time. Didn't quit weeping the whole time he's talking to me. He's weeping. His mom comes in. I said, hey, Mom, your son's been in darkness for 21 years. But he's about to come to the light, and I want you to be a part of it. You know what she did without me telling her? What do you think she did? She reached out. What do you think she did? She touched him. What do you think I did? I joined the party. I reached out and touched him. And I watched the leprosy fall from this man's heart. And I watched this kid go from darkness to light. And I watched this kid smile for the first time, and who knows when. And you know what he said to me? Now, this doesn't necessarily mean you're saved, but it's a pretty good sign. He said to me, all right, I want to get baptized. I said, good gosh, I'm trying to beg people to get baptized. You're ready to get baptized. Now, here's my point. Here's my point. All I did was give a kid the magic touch, hope, healing, heaven. Let's do the same. Bow your heads with me. If you're watching this program right now, if you're online or you're watching by television and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know Jesus. If you're in this room today and you don't know Jesus, I want you to know Jesus. And by the way, those of you who need to leave, there are packets right out front. Go make sure you get a packet if you can, if God leads you to do it. I don't want to leave anybody here to leave without Jesus. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, would you just right now just do what that leper did? Would you just say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart? I believe you died for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I believe you're alive right now. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me. Forgive me of all of my sins. I repent and turn away from my sins, and I give all of my life to all you are. Thank you for hearing my prayer. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me the gift of eternal life. Help me to live for you for the rest of my life. If you prayed that prayer and you're watching right now, would you just go to this website? It's called crosspointchurch.com/next. crosspointchurch.com/next. Would you just go to that website? If you're in this room and you gave your life to Jesus, I'm going to ask you, when this service is over, you go out to the lobby. There's a table out there called Next Steps. I want you to go to that table, and all I want you to do is simply they'll tell that person, I gave my life to Jesus Christ today. I surrendered my life to the Lord today. Something like that. We just want to help you get started in your walk with God. Maybe you want to get baptized. Maybe you've been saved but never baptized. Maybe you want to join this church. Maybe you get involved in a small group or serving. Whatever it is you need. If you've got a spiritual decision, go to that table. Lord, this is my prayer. There are children out there. There are faces on brochures out there. Children, we have the opportunity because of this great ministry to be your hands, to be your feet, and to give children around the world the touch of hope and healing in heaven. I pray we'll be practically today a compassionate church. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now I want you to stand to your feet. I got one last thing I want to say. Everybody stand to your feet real quick. This is how this works. It's real easy. They've made it so easy. I don't want you to just go. This is important. Don't just go and just pick up a brochure and just leave. Look through them. Pray through them. God has a child or children he wants you to sponsor. I don't know who it is or where it is. This just happens to be one. And I'm just telling you, I just know this is one of mine. You can do one of two things. You can scan the QR code in the back. A form will come up. You fill it out. You're on the road. Or there's a form here you can fill out and tear off before you leave. Either way you want to do it. It doesn't matter to us. Okay? So I want to say this one more time. I want you to do what the Spirit of God leads you to do. If you have a heart of compassion, I won't have to beg you to do it. You want to do it. As a matter of fact, if you have a heart of compassion, you can't wait to get out there and find out where your child is. You can't wait. You're pumped about it. But if there's even an ounce of doubt in your heart, if there's, I can't afford it, or I just don't want to do that, or you're not going to afford it, then don't do it. No problem. I'm not taking names. Don't know who did it, who didn't. I'm just telling you. Last question. What in the world are you going to do with $1.40 a day that will make more of an impact and a difference than being a part of this ministry? So, Father, in the name of Jesus, may our people walk out of here today as I will. Parents in this room have kids. Grandparents have grandchildren. Except by the grace of God, they would have been born in Burkina Faso. They would have been born in Mali. They would have been born in Niger. They would have been born some other place in the world that doesn't even hear the gospel. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, may we be a compassionate church. Thank you for the lives of kids that are going to be touched. Thank you for the fact that one day somebody's going to come up to somebody in this church someday and say, I'm here today because you supported this ministry. We commit it to you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said.